Our guest is Stephen Davis, founder and CEO of Javelin Wealth Management. Stephen, I'll give you a choice. You want to talk first about the UK or China and Xi Jinping's speech?
Let's talk about the fun thing. Let's talk about China first.
Okay. So I suppose there was some thinking that he would bring in this sort of development and security as equal goals going forward. He didn't quite do that, but he talked so much about China on the global stage and you know bringing Taiwan back into the fore and having already achieved it with Hong Kong. What do you think the speech means basically for investors?
I guess that if investors were looking for a potential early heads up that there was going to be a change of tack, particularly as regards zero COVID, particularly as regards the property sector and the crackdown on tech, we got none of those from that speech. Obviously, that was the opening speech for the party congress, so you would kind of expect more generalities. But no, the list of specifics was very short, and the list of generalities, which we've heard many times before, was pretty long.
And very short in terms of perhaps some of the policy support that we might have been expecting could be outlined. What happens next then, given we've already got such low growth forecasts for China's economy?
Well, I guess it means probably more of the same. So the Chinese government and the Chinese central bank have been gradually easing both interest rates and lending policies to provide a bit of support for the property sector. But given the problems that abound there, largely as a result of changes in those very same government policies, it's going to be a while before we see any significant improvements. So that's going to act as still quite significant pressure on the economy. It means that growth rates are going to remain fairly anemic, and it means that crucial number of youth unemployment is going to remain high for the foreseeable future.
This was a sort of chest-beating speech by the president and the general secretary. He said that China is an admired alternative model for the globe on development that has a different path than what is currently the post-Second World War system led by the U.S., almost implying that there would be many out there that would embrace that path. Do you see a lot of nations aspiring to be more like China?
No, I think that a lot of nations, however, are treading a very wary path between those two incredibly powerful supranational blocs, one led by the US and the other increasingly led by China, particularly out here in Asia. Obviously, we're very well aware of the fact that countries are very careful not to antagonize either party, and as a result are trying to please both. Which means a policy of continued aggressive neutrality, if you will, on the part of most people. They recognize that China's an important economic power, and it's growing in influence as a strategic and military power, and you want to make sure that you've got the best of the first and a little of the second.
Let's quickly talk about your broad view on Asia and where you see opportunity. I know you're looking at Japan. We've got the yen at 148.51 on watch for intervention as well. What stands out to you in Japan?
Well, it's exactly that. It's the weakness of the yen. And at some point, that's going to turn around. It is perhaps a little bit surprising that the Bank of Japan is still maintaining that very, very loose monetary policy. Kuroda, the central bank governor, has made it very clear that he wants to see good inflation, if you will, rising more sharply than it has done for many, many decades. So at the moment, the BOJ is still standing pat and shows very little inclination to intervene to support the yen. That therefore means that inflation is going to continue to rise because obviously energy costs are priced in US dollars and the yen's weakened sharply against the US this year.
Stephen Davies, founder and CEO at Javelin Wealth Management, who is also joining us from Singapore, and talk about what we can expect in UK assets. The gilt market very much in focus with the Bank of England exit leaving. I guess it exposed somewhat, and we're seeing the pound rally this morning in Asia. What more is really needed to be done here to restore market credibility?
Well, I think that they've managed to repair a bit of the damage over the weekend by the previous Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng falling on his sword and making room for a champion of economic orthodoxy, which Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng had roundly discounted when they were elected in by the Tory party. So we're going to get a return back to that orthodoxy. It's been very clear from Jeremy Hunt's statements over the weekend that unfunded tax cuts won't fly, and the markets are probably going to like that.
Is there any likelihood that we'll see other examples of this, instances where you have this battle between the government and the central bank?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that what we're seeing at the moment is a real battle in markets around the world between central banks whose mandate is to crush inflation and central governments whose mandate is to keep the population happy. And you're not going to be able to make both of those two things square off. And at the moment, the inflation hawks are winning. But you can see because of the strength of the US dollar, because of the fact that the Fed's way out in front versus other central banks, you're beginning to see a lot of stresses and strains coming out in the system. And it's a question of which breaks first, whether or not it's inflation or economies and politics. And at the moment, it's economies and politics that are seeing the pressure. So strikes in France, that's another symptom.
In terms of which breaks first, I mean, the energy crisis that Europe is facing, also very dire. How much have markets, I guess, priced in a lot of the recessionary fears and the downturn that you are seeing in Europe?
Probably not as much as we think. The reason why we're seeing such enormous volatility at the moment is that markets are hoping that enough has been done to crush inflation, and at the moment the data is saying otherwise. So the noise is out of the Fed about more aggressive rate increases coming in towards the end of the year, possibly into the early part of next year, is all part of the mood music that central banks are trying to create to say, we're going to be looking at the data and don't expect any freebies until the data turns in the way that we want it to do.
So it's a complicated environment to invest in. We haven't talked too much about your views about how to deploy new capital. Would you even be deploying new capital at the moment?
In a word, no. I think the sensible thing to do is to take advantage of those higher interest rates, leave it on term deposit for a little while. It is true that there are some alternative assets which are negatively correlated, and those are actually doing pretty well. Secondly, various types of CTA strategy seems to have done extraordinarily well during the course of 2022, so they're having their day in the sun at the moment. But in such volatile times, what's performing strongly today can just as equally turn to a massive underperformer tomorrow. So until we're clearer on the direction for economies, interest rates and inflation, I think it makes sense to remain fairly prudent.
So dollars remain strong. We touched on the yen earlier. What kind of, I guess, further worries do you have for some of these Asian economies with a strong dollar?
Well, the Asian economies are in a better position than they were, let's say, the Asian financial crisis in the late 1990s, when they had a lot of dollar-denominated debt. So a lot of that has obviously been retired, paid down. More has been issued in local currencies. So the pressures on government finance are perhaps not as acute as they were 20-plus years ago. But nonetheless, the strong dollar does mean that people are paying a lot more for key oil and energy prices than they were a year ago, and that's causing trouble.
All right, Stephen, a pleasure. Thank you. Stephen Davies, founder and CEO at Javelin Wealth Management, on the line from Singapore for us here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.